Hey, good people. I hope you are having a wonderful day. Put a smile on your face because you should be happy. You are hearing my voice, and for that, you should feel grateful. Not to hear my voice, but that you are alive and well and that you have the ability to hear my voice. Hey, we are joined today by a cool soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Her name is Ebony K. Williams. You can see her on Fox. She has a new book out called Pretty Powerful, Appearance, Substance, and Success. And I'm going to tell you, when someone first pitched Ebony to the podcast, I was like, pretty powerful. What she mean by that? Then I realized that she was going to be on Sister Circle, and we had a chance to speak with her on our show on TV One every day at 9 a.m. And so I was just floored by this woman, how just beautiful, literally beautiful she is on the inside, and it just resonates on the outside. I could have talked to her for hours, truly could have talked to her for hours. Just a phenomenal woman, Ebony K. Williams, and here she is with Pretty Powerful. Enjoy. You know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey, y'all.
I am a cool soror of...
What's up, y'all? I'm a cool soror of...
Hi, I am a cool soror of...
It's the Cool Soror Podcast, hosted by me, Rashawn Ali. We are back with another episode of the Cool Soror Podcast. Welcome to the show, everybody. And today we are joined by a beautiful cool soror. Her name is Ebony K. Williams. She's an author. She is a TV personality, but an all-around beautiful woman. And Ebony, you are a cool soror of?
Of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Welcome to the show. Soror. Yes. Thank How are you?
I'm really lovely. Yeah. I just landed in Atlanta last night.
Right.
I love New York. I rep Harlem hard, but I'm really a daughter of the South.
Yes.
So I grew up in Charlotte. So being back down here amongst these steel magnolias, these Southern Belles, these queens, it's really nice.
Yes, yes. We had her on the guest on our show, Sister Circle. And it's funny because my high school classmate, Nora, reached out to me. She was like, hey, do you know, I want to introduce you to one of your sorority sisters, Ebony. I mean, she sent me all of your stuff. And I was like, cool. I mean, follow up. Who's her contact people? Who should I, you know, follow up with? And then literally a week later, they said you were coming on Sister Circle. I'm like, well, let's go ahead and record the podcast right after. Yeah.
Look at God.
Yeah. So it's it's really a pleasure to meet you and have had you on the Sister Circle today. But let's talk about you and, you know, why you decided to write this book. But that started a long time ago as a little girl. Pretty powerful. Tell me about your upbringing and why you thought it was important or think it is important now that we share our pretty.
That's right. So basically, I grew up with a single mom. And she grew up in the rural South, segregation, Amite, Louisiana, very small town, very poor. I say in the book, her house that she grew up in had two rooms, not two bedrooms,
two rooms. Wow.
With an outhouse.
Right.
And not that long ago, my mother's a relatively young woman, Rashawn. She's only 57.
Oh,
and
wow.
She literally did not go to school with white folk until she was a high school student. So that was her perspective, her lens. And I think a lot of the narratives that she heard growing up in that environment were about limitations.
Yeah.
And around stereotypes and what she could and couldn't do and shouldn't do, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she wanted better for me. I know she did.
Yeah.
And so she made choices, including moving to Charlotte, where there would be a little more opportunity professionally. And although she could not complete her formal collegiate education, that was important for me.
Right.
And that was a goal she had for me from early on. It wasn't if you're going to college, it's where you're going to college.
Right, right.
And so she really had that instilled in me from very young, academic excellence and as a way of opportunity, not just A's for the sake of A's, but A's for the sake of they open up doors for you.
Right.
And they really limit outsiders' ability to question your credentials and your merit and your do you deserve a seat at the table?
Yes.
That was something that she always really got in front of since I was little. At the same exact time, though, she really made sure that I presented a certain way visually. Her and my grandmother both, again, didn't come from much by way of materialism, but I better not go out that house with a hair out of place.
Right,
I better not
right.
go out with wrinkled clothes. And you know, it's like, okay, well, is this superficial? And, you know, you think it as a kid.
Yeah.
Are they caught up with the look? No, it's because people do assess and judge, mm-hmm, quite frankly, mm-hmm, based off of that, especially when you're a young black girl in the South, and especially when you're poor, and especially when you're all these things society devalues.
Right,
so
right.
So the notion was to look valuable, not necessarily with designer names, but just look like you care. Look
right.
like you take yourself seriously, and the world might take you seriously as well.
Right. And so that was in Charlotte.
That was in Charlotte, yep. And that was kind of growing up through public schools there. And I tell a story in the book how I did not have a uniformed school. I went to a public school. I was bused to a performing arts magnet, though, to cultivate my skills there. But I had a uniform in Gloria's mind. It was polos, khaki shorts, penny loafers, Oxfords, little white socks, a gelled back ponytail, and she had that pink oil moisturizer and this jam gel.
Yes.
To the heavens, because she went to send a message to my teachers, a message to my administrators that, you know, she might be on free lunch and, you know, we might live in West Charlotte, but she's a serious student.
Right.
And you need to teach her accordingly.
Wow.
And I will hold you to account as well. And she did.
What did that do for you? Obviously, it's done amazing for you throughout your life, but how do you carry that with you now that you're on Fox News and now that you're the author of this book? Like, you, that thing is clearly resonates with you every single day.
Yeah, I was six and I got those messages. So as you know, you go into your teens, you go into your first years of college.
Right.
And you pay attention to how you present even on campus. And it's funny, at UNC, I was very active in our black student movement.
Right.
And although we were a white school, our black community was very loud and very proud and very vocal. And I wrote this thing, we had a paper called The Black Ink. And I wrote an article I believe it was my freshman year, maybe sophomore year. Anyways, it was about us as black women and how we should present on campus.
Yes.
And I remember it like it's yesterday. I got to find it because it's the precursor to Pretty Powerful some 17 years ago. And I wrote, and you will remember this, Sora. Remember when every black woman in America had that lip combo of chestnut pencil, frenzy lipstick, and old baby lip gloss?
Right.
So I'm like, I want all my sisters on campus to know that we could wear more color range than that. And people were hot, though.
Oh.
They were in their feelings.
From our community.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Who are you telling us? I'm like, listen, I'm just saying, you know, that we can explore our beauty in ways that are outside of what's assigned to us.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We don't have to just be in these neutrals because that's what they're comfortable with.
Right.
And then look at recent controversy. Some ignorant rapper said something about how, you know, darker skinned women shouldn't wear red lipstick
and all that kind of stupid
stuff. It's ignorant.
Right.
And that's the kind of stuff I wrote this book around. So,
right.
So that we as women, particularly though, women of color who do not have our look and our aesthetic celebrated the way that it should be in this country, that has a very Eurocentric aesthetic that it defines as beautiful. And I reject that narrative at every turn. And I'm also not naive to our own historical challenges as a community around what's beautiful and what we're going to limit that to be. And so I push us at every turn to get beyond that and celebrate beauty in all of its forms.
Love it. So let's go back to when you graduated from college. Like, what was your you automatically laughed. What was your next step?
Yes. So I again knew that academic excellence was a part of it. So as much as the beauty pageants and the looking good was a message that was in my household, the louder one was absolutely getting those A's.
Getting
that straight A's. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if she did it the whole right way.
Right.
But there was a price to pay for B's in my household.
Really?
Yeah. got B for B's because her notion was, if that's the best you can do, I accept it. I don't believe that's your best.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to step it up. And I do believe that children meet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that all children should be, you know, parented the same way, but make sure that you're expecting the most of your children.
Right.
Because I think that makes a difference. So academically, those standards were high. I went straight to law school. I knew I wanted to. I have clearly like to talk and and have a strong point of view. So I went straight to law school, came out at 23. I was very young and started practicing and went to a big prestigious firm where I was the only black face that wasn't an admin assistant. And, you know, it's not different than my experience going to Fox News, actually, now that I think about it, because other than Harris Faulkner, there really weren't any black female anchors at Fox News.
No.
And there still aren't.
Right.
And so the look on the faces of you know, the young women and men even that worked in security, that worked in, you know, even producers. And
yeah.
It's a look of pride that says really
good.
Yeah, and it's humbling to
okay,
me.
Okay.
It's very humbling because I know that I'm there as a representative.
Yes.
I'm representing proudly my community and my culture, a voice that's not normally recognized in that space. The same yes. way at that firm back at 23 years old.
So it's preparation.
It's preparation.
Yeah.
To say that, you know, I don't believe in that tokenism crap, and I get to that in the book. But until we represent in these spaces, whether it's law firms, boardrooms, Wall Street, classrooms, doesn't matter, newsrooms.
Yeah.
Until we represent in those spaces in the numbers that we should, in the proportions that we should, you know this all too well, that those of us that are blessed and fortunate enough to be in those spaces, we carry the privilege. I don't call it a burden. It's a privilege of representation.
Yes, we do.
And it's something that I take very seriously.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the atmosphere at Fox. I mean, you know, when people hear Fox News, they automatically think conservative. I don't even want to go over there. They're not going to speak my language. Like, mm-hmm. how important is it for you to be that voice?
Yeah.
Especially when it's not going to be received as popular.
Oh, yeah. And we're not necessarily welcomed.
Yes.
So I have a saying that we need to be in all spaces as folks of color, as black folks, as mm-hmm. black women. And the reason why is because they're going to tell our story with or without us there.
Right.
Right. They're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick. They're going to talk about Chicago. They're going to talk about all of these things. And I think it's important to correct narratives when mm-hmm. given the opportunity. I don't know if so much given, but maybe create
yes.
those opportunities
yes.
to
yes.
correct those narratives. That felt important to me. And no better example was in the wake of the Charlottesville
yes.
white supremacy, domestic
which
violence,
you spoke,
terrorism.
You spoke out for sure.
I did. And a lot of people were surprised on both sides of the political aisle, because up until that point, Civil War, really intentionally, and I'm a woman of great intentionality, and this book, in one word, pretty powerful, is about intention.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally presenting yourself in the way that you want to be perceived
right.
and received. But I spent four years and some change at Fox, being very measured in my approach, very reasonable, very rational. I'm a lawyer first. But that day that Charlottesville happened, when I woke up that Monday morning, I knew the time for measure was over.
It was over.
It was on your heart.
It
was on my heart, and it was on my spirit, really,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to say.
It was the assignment,
It was the assignment.
It was the assignment.
It was the very reason God put me in that space
yep.
for that moment, for those 3 minutes to look straight to camera, uninterrupted, and speak directly to the man that, for better or worse, is sitting in that oval. Because guess what? He doesn't watch CNN. He doesn't watch MSNBC. You know what he watches? Fox News.
He sure does.
And guess who works at Fox News? I do.
Right.
So it was
yes.
all divine. It was divine order. And that was my moment to proudly speak to the soul of our country.
Nice. What was the, how was it received? Did you hear from him? Did you like, what was it like? And how did you stand true in that moment?
Yeah. So I didn't hear from him directly yet, but I think that's largely because I work at Fox News, because we saw what happened in the wake of Sister Jemele Hill
mm-hmm. yeah,
and her speaking out and being just viciously attacked straight from the White House.
Yes.
I think I was spared that because I work for Fox and because there's a relationship with the president and Fox News Channel, but his supporters didn't get that memo. So, you know, visceral reaction.
Really?
And look,
oh,
I'm not naive, right? I know as a free black woman on Fox News Channel that lots of folks are not going to agree with my point of view. And that's been the case for years. But the visceral nature of what I saw after that docket was
wow.
unlike anything I'd seen, including, you know, threats on my life. I shouldn't be walking the streets of Harlem. Watch out. And they're still mad. I mean, that docket was over the summer.
Yeah.
And folks are still saying, boycott the book. She doesn't deserve to be here. Fire her. All because I spoke my truth.
Yeah. What did your producer say when you finished?
Oh, funny enough, my producers, all of which are white, to their credit, though, the docket, and you know this because you have a news background, Sora, the docket was great, but it was long. It
mm-hmm.
read like almost 4 minutes and a half,
yeah.
which is just too long for a segment like that. So they said, Ebony, we love what you're saying. We wouldn't dare try to edit it. It's too long, though, so we need you to edit it down. And that's a moment when I talk about us being in all spaces. I'm a little busy. I'm not too self-important, but I'm a little busy because I host a 3-hour talk radio
yes,
show as well.
Right, right.
So I'm coming from radio. I'm hopping into Fox. I'm getting camera ready. And I really should have been able to just do my show. Instead, I had to go in my pocket, hire my best friend, Christina A. Jackson, to edit my docket because she understood the nature of the content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my producers well-intentioned, but all white, and knew that they couldn't get it.
Right.
Knew that they.
I'm glad that they knew that,
they knew
too.
It though.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
To their credit, that's why I say they knew they did not have the context to edit that the way it needed to. So my point in telling that part of the story is, how wonderful would it have been if I had some producers on my team that could have, you know, assisted in that moment.
Right.
So that's, again, in front of the camera, great. Behind the microphone, amazing. But we got to have those sisters and brothers producing in the edit bay, in the control room, so that we have that context and that perspective all around us.
That's beautiful. How is it being that when you are on a network like this and then having candid conversations like we're having, do you find yourself having to be, because you're very, obviously, well, you're outspoken, you're well-spoken, all of these things. You. Do you find yourself having to be careful to
like
protect
self-edit.
The job? Or
No, that's not my get down. I respect folks that approach it that way. For me, though, my faith is such that I think there's always going to be an opportunity for talented, hardworking people.
Yes.
I really believe that.
Right.
I've left jobs with no job. I've moved across country with nothing. I've done that twice. I just don't believe in this ever being my last opportunity.
Yeah.
So to the extent the relationship works with Fox or any other station, great. When it runs its course, it runs its course. And I'm prepared for the consequences of that.
Wow. You are truly, you can tell that you're on assignment, not just for where you are. Just period.
That. You just gave me nuggets.
Yes.
No, it's an assignment.
It's an assignment. We all, like, we have an assignment with this talk show that we're doing.
Yes.
We have an assignment with this conversation.
Thank you.
I
want to speak to the show, actually,
yeah.
Because, you know, I've been in this business as from a broadcaster. You know, I'm a former trial lawyer, and then I started broadcasting about 6-7 years ago. And even in my short period of time doing this, you know, you know what they still say?
What?
Don't put two black women at a news desk
because
people won't watch it.
Yep.
Don't put two black women in the whatever, you know. I'm going to just be straight up. I co-hosted a show called Outnumbered on Fox News. Primary anchor is Ms. Harris Faulkner.
Yeah.
And it was said by many people in the building that part of the reason I didn't get the permanent hosting job on the Outnumbered show, because everybody was like, you're doing amazing work on
there, and
you represent a very unique kind of legal expertise, moderate, independent point of view, was because they, as a network, would not put two black women anchoring a show at the same time, even flanked by white women.
Right.
So for what you all are doing with Sister Circle, that representation is so powerful.
Thank you.
Because you cannot be what you cannot see.
Oof.
So what young women and men across this country see in that hour is that we are not a monolith.
Yes.
That there is so much. Yeah, y'all might all be black women, but look at the complexities. Look at the dynamics.
Right.
Look at the backgrounds. There is still diversity at that table.
Right.
And I think that's really important for people to see.
Thank you.
You are actually making it easier for people like me to be able to do that in that way.
Right. I'm glad you said that, because we do have diversity. And then being a black woman is so cool. Because we can wrap in one segment and then come back to the full circle segment talk about body image.
That's right.
And then we can uplift our black men and then have a cooking segment.
That's
what I mean? Like, and be who we are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were just in our pretty dresses, but now you lay back and I'm laid back in my Adidas and my, you know, and you got your beautiful pink.
Adidas needs to pay us.
I know, right?
We are
Adidas
like wrapping all this Adidas, right?
But that's the beauty of being a black woman.
Yes,
and
is.
I think that's what's gorgeous. That's what's pretty about us.
That's
Speaking
is,
of pretty powerful. Let's go through this book and what people can expect when they go through these beautiful pages.
I love that you say expectation around it, because I think it's not what people expect.
Right.
Or I think
right.
they see pretty powerful. They see an airbrushed glam shot photo.
Because I'm going to tell you,
yep.
I thought the same. I was like, why is she? Yeah. Why is she going to call herself? Like, how is it? And then when
like,
you
where's
sat,
she going with that?
That's exactly what I thought.
But that's also intentional, right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
Because we do that every day.
Yep.
Like, this just happens to be a book. But how often do we see sisters on a train or sitting in their car or in the mall or at the movie theater? And we make that kind of snap assessment.
Right,
like,
right.
Look at her.
She pretty.
And what's deeper? What's beneath that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote the book, and the intro to the book is called Pretty Isn't a Dirty Word.
Hmm.
Also intentional, because you have a daughter.
I do.
And I talk about how a lot of my friends, we're mid-30s now, everybody's popping out babies left and right, mazel to them. And they have these beautiful little girls. And I'm quick to say, your daughter's beautiful.
Yeah.
And some of my friends are like, don't call her that. Don't tell her that. That's not what's important. I say, why? Why are you shaming her around her truth?
Mm.
Because she's beautiful, and she's inquisitive, and she's perceptive, and she's precocious, and she's you know, all of these things we value. So I really am trying to articulate, my assignment, I should say, is to articulate something that's all-encompassing, something that doesn't limit. Going back to how I was raised, the world's going to try to limit us at every turn. I reject it. Really, I rebuke it.
Yeah.
And I say that we get to be all that we want to be. We get to be pretty and powerful and substantive and humble and confident, which kind of connects to my journey into the sorority.
Yes. Yeah.
Because a lot of people are always surprised when they meet me, you know, old stereotypes about what AKAs are and deltas and zetas and SU rows and all these things. And, oh, okay, obviously you're an AKA. Well, why is that obvious, right? And then, you know, we all know the obvious reasons, but those hesitations were why I prolonged pledging AKA until graduate chapter. And people are always very surprised. Like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because, you know what? Shame on me. I was still trying to reconcile being a member of an organization that for some people stopped at what it looked like, stopped at that pretty association.
Right, right.
But through my research, through my education, and fortunately through my process of joining the sisterhood, the complexity, the richness of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated from its inception, through its survival amongst challenge, through being on the front lines of women's suffrage. I mean, you got that.
Right.
You know, the front lines of women's suffrage, on the front line of civil rights, voting rights, to voter registration, getting President Obama elected, to right now.
Right.
There are AKAs in this. Look at Sarah Kamala Harris being the second black woman ever in the United States Congress, only to be, you know, preceded by a good Delta woman.
Right.
You know, Carol Moseley Braun. So this is the beauty of black sorority life.
Right.
And
right.
It's beauty and it's powerful. Yes. And I'm not ashamed of it.
I love it. And I love that you stepped outside of you know, what people perceived you to be. And you said, I'm going to, because a lot of people are like, undergrad or nothing.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah,
you know, and you could have, you could have very well done it. And then you would have not have been where you are right now to receive.
I don't think I would have received it. Correct.
Right.
I think,
right.
You know, and every, you know, soul will tell you that their process is their own. But even the women I pledged with, you know, that was an assignment, you know, to be uplifted. I just had a beautiful signing for Pretty Powerful in Los Angeles. And I pledged Ada Lambda Omega Chapter. Shout out to Pasadena. And the way those sorors showed up for me.
Come on.
You know, I mean, just droves. I walked into that Inglewood Black bookstore and just my heart was full.
Yeah.
My heart was full. And it was sorors from undergrad, Emory, Pepperdine.
Yes.
Just everything. And that's the beauty in it. When people ask, why would you pledge at a graduate level? I really can't even articulate to you the dynamic of being in this sisterhood. I don't care if you're 17 or 97.
Come on.
Care to you. I'd be beyond the wall. The level of support and love and accountability.
Yes.
I love it when my sorors hold me account. And it's just changed my life.
I have fallen in love with you. Like you.
Oh, I'm serious.
No. Just even when we were on set today, I was just like, first of all, your voice. Amazing.
That means a lot from you because you have a fantastic
thank
voice.
You.
It's
thank
not a
you.
Secret that you're. You remind me a lot of Jackie Reed in the sense of you
people
all are
that.
The woman, but not just the short hair and the beautiful face, but it's also the ability because people don't know this, or but when you're in this business, this is a spit you, chew you.
Oh,
up
I
spit
know.
You out business.
Oh, I know.
And a lot of people come and a lot of people go. So when you see women like yourself, individuals, period, like yourself, man or woman, that are able to sustain,
yes.
to reinvent, to tap into a new dynamic of their persona
come
and
on.
Their skill set. It's inspiring for folks like me who are really kind of in the, you know, beginning of our stages.
Right. Oh, thank you. I appreciate
that.
And I receive that.
That's important.
What is your end all be all, Ebony? Like, what do you want to, I see you talk showing this thing up. Like,
maybe
well,
one
I see.
Day. Maybe one
yeah,
day.
Yeah. What do you know, what do you see for yourself? I know we're promoting this pretty powerful book. It's going to be a pretty powerful show. Like, tell me.
Yeah, there's going to be a pretty powerful foundation next.
Okay.
And I want to start that first quarter of 2018. I like quarterly goals. So that's on my Q1 for 2018. Because so much of what I've been able to accomplish and have impact in is because I've been mentored. And nobody can get to the top in isolation. No one. And so what I want to do, and it's got a specific, it's a lot of great nonprofits, but what my mentorship program is going to do so is going to be targeted for people who were like me, really capable, had all the talent and drive in the world, but didn't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So Pretty Powerful Foundation's goal is going to be for predominantly young black women and men, though, because they need this help as well, our young black boys, to get a full academic ride to whatever university they so choose.
I love it.
That's the specific goal. I was blessed to have one at UNC. And it wasn't because I was smarter or better than anybody. It's because we used the resources.
Yes.
We found out what's a Pogue scholarship, what's a Moorhead scholarship, what's a Coca-Cola scholarship, what's a Ron Brown scholarship. We got those essays done. We got that SAT where it needed to be. And that's what Pretty Powerful Foundation is going to be about.
Yes. Not just waiting for somebody to give you something. Go out.
We're going to get it.
We're going to get it. You can have several scholarships that make a full scholarship.
I was sitting there at the table like, let eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Right.
What school's going to pay me to make them look good? Because I think UNC's got a hell of a return on their investment. I'm just saying. I love my heels, but I make them look good.
Right.
Because that's what this is about. This is a business.
Yes.
It's a return. You're not getting nothing for free.
Right, right.
You're getting a return on their investment as I have as well.
I love it. Yeah. You know, and you kind of answered this question, but I usually ask, did you choose Alpha Kappa Alpha or did Alpha Kappa Alpha choose you?
That's we chose each other.
Yes.
I think we chose. I absolutely chose her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, you know, still continues to fill my heart. And I'm in Pi Kappa Omega now in Harlem.
Okay.
Where I'm the connections chair.
I love it. Come on, chair. It's so funny. Like, my assistant was going through my emails. She was like, you're on the cluster committee? I'm like, yes, I am.
I know. When is the call? When is the call?
Right. Literally. I'm literally organizing, like, some publicity runs for them today. Our cluster is like in 2 days.
The work of the sorority never stops.
It never stops.
And to their credit, they're throwing a wonderful event for me in New York.
Love it.
In Harlem. And that's important. You know, that home base of our people, our community, at the Boys and Girls Club, because one of our vice president, I should say, Anta Basilis, she is the director of the Boys and Girls Club there. And they are just showing up. And all of the D9.
Yeah.
You know, this is all the D9, the Lynx chapters, everything is just showing up to lift Pretty Powerful up. So, that's amazing.
It is.
That's amazing.
It is. Yeah. What is your definition of cool? And I'm going to let you go.
My definition of cool is... what's cool to me? Cool is authenticity, right? Cool is authenticity. You know, whatever you want to be and whenever you want to be. So like you said, we were on set and dolled up in our dresses and heels, and now we're chilling in our Adidas and our kickback gear. And I think that's cool.
Yeah.
That we can do that, again, that duality.
Mm-hmm. Duality.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
And you are absolutely drop dead gorgeous from the inside.
Thank you so
out.
That makes me that
how
makes
can people
smile.
Find you on social media and get your book?
Please. You can find me at Ebony, Ebony, K Williams on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I keep it consistent.
Me too.
And please get Pretty Powerful on Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. I'm trying to do as many signings or as possible, trying to go to communities that we exist in. I've been to LA. I've been to Philly. I'm in Atlanta tonight at Barnes & Nobles. I will be in D.C. I'm doing Durham, North Carolina. I'm doing most cities because, you know what? The book is amazing. Buy the book, but I want people to also connect.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And I want to bring us together because these book signings have been more than about people buying this book. It's been about people connecting and really finding assignment.
Yep. Assignment and having the conversation.
Yeah.
Having the conversation about what the real meaning is.
That's correct.
Behind these words. Well, Ebony, thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate
continued success. And I love you, Sorora.
I love
just
you, Sorora.
Instant connection.
I love your representation.
Thank you.
It's inspiring still to me.
Thank you. Thank you. Ebony K. Williams, everybody.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ebony K. Williams. I am a Fox News and WABC host, but I'm also an author of Pretty Powerful, Appearance, Substance, and Success. And I'm a cool soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.